2 months ago.
Everybody gather around in a semicircle. Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. That's what I was waiting for. Okay, thanks everyone for coming. First of all, I'm Vic, in case you haven't met me yet. The most important thing first is we need to sign in, and it's also a waiver, which means that we are not responsible if you get hurt. So, with that said, don't do anything today that you don't feel totally comfortable with. And we have a very good and experienced contractor who I'm sure will not put you in danger. But if you want to observe. If you want
Captain
to help,
danger.
You can help. But if you get hurt, it's not our fault. So has everyone signed the waiver?
Bob doesn't want to take it.
We also have name tags.
Alex did.
What are you about?
And we are not affiliated with the Triangle Environmental Network. And we wouldn't
sure you are. You're a member.
We just took their free stickers.
I should probably introduce Bob Coyle for those who are coming for the Triangle Environmental Network and have never met Bob. He's probably met everyone now, but Bob's a long time local Sierra Club person, or former local Sierra
Club. I'm still in the club. What are you talking about?
I'm also, well, I guess I'll give you a little background just about how I got to this, do this. Introduce a few people. Have Molly, who's our Sierra Club's state director, say a few words, a little bigger picture of what's going on in the state as far as energy issues. And then I've got just a few little things to say about energy efficiency, just things as a homeowner. I really have no technical expertise. I'm an engineer, but more of a water engineer. So energy, I'm just starting to learn more and more about because it's such a huge issue. But I can at least tell you, as a homeowner, as a concerned person, you know, things that can be done that I've learned. And then I'll turn it over to Bob Kingery, who's a contractor, who is really doing the workshop part. So here's how I got involved, essentially. I'll just tell you the story. It's not that exciting. But everyone remember Tropical Storm Alberto? Anyone else's cellar flood during Tropical Storm Alberto? I think that was the first one this year. Well, my basement flooded, and it flooded pretty good. And if part of you will go down in the cellar and actually assist with the installation there, and you'll see it's a fairly humid place, and it's kind of finished, but it flooded during Alberto. A lot of people in this area in Raleigh had flooded cellars, but it flooded enough that it actually extinguished the pilot in my water heater. So, and I, not knowing anything really about water heaters, said, "Oh, the water heater shot." And I was like, "Well, this is a good." The last time I had it, all of us probably replace our water heaters when our water heaters burst. That's what I always did in the past. And the last time I replaced it about 5 years ago, you know, it burst Saturday afternoon. I just had to get whatever I could get down there. But I was sort of kicking myself that I didn't have a chance to look in the solar. So this time I was like, well, you know, no hot water, yeah, it's a bummer, but let me at least give the solar thing a whirl. Got connected with Bob, who came out and advised me on my existing
brave enough to light the pilot. Told you it wouldn't blow up, most likely. You stand back and we'll light it.
So that endeared me to him. He did that totally free. But I had hooked up with Bob through the Solar Center and just because I was looking for a good local contractor for solar just to advise. And we got to talking about it, and it was like, wow, this is, you know, really expensive, and I don't really need a new water heater. But when we, you know, I did some work on my own looking at costs, you know, well, not cost benefit, but cost payback periods and stuff. And when you consider the subsidies, which I think Bob will talk about, eventually I convinced myself, even for this, you know, this location where maybe not all of my water heater needs will be met by solar, I convinced myself that it was worth it. And, you know, some of that's altruistic, too, but that's why we're here, probably. So I guess with that's how I sort of got to this point. Since I had been involved in the Sierra Club for a long time at the state and local levels, just Bob and I talking about it. Bob one day said, hey, why don't we do a workshop? And I said, yeah, that sounds great. Get people out and have them learn about it. And you are all, you might not realize it now, but you're actually all very fortunate because we had probably, I probably had a total of about 40 people contact me. It hadn't really turned people away. People were, you know, I had some people contact me last night, you know, am I still on the waiting list? And so people are really interested in this. And I know Bob, glad to hear that, but, and Bob Coyle could have brought out probably at least half as many, you know, half again as many people. So it's great. And thanks for coming. Before I turn it over to Molly for a few minutes, just the logistics. This door is locked. I have two dogs in here. They're listening intently from that room, and they're probably freaking out. But please, there's the way the house is situated, the bathroom is right here, this window here. If you walk in the front door, if you could just not go through the living room, if you just go through the hall. So follow the hall is hardwood floors that haven't been fixed up, but just follow that hall and the bathroom's right there. It's basically right in front of you as you walk in the door a little bit left. The kitchen is, you know, past that on your left if you need to get something to drink or whatever. You can do that. Leave the bathroom door open if you don't mind so that people have no trouble finding it. And the main thing is just not to open any other door because trying to keep the dogs in there and not have them get out. So I think that's it in terms of logistics. I'm sorry about the bugs. Maybe I'm immune to them or something, but yeah, there's mosquitoes. So but we do have bug spray if you need it. We have both the chemically enhanced and the less chemically enhanced. So
There's enough people. We're kind of in a herd environment, so there's less chance of any people getting bit. Right?
Get the tasty people on the outside of that circle. Any questions? Logistics? Anything else? Okay, we're probably going to run 3 or 4 hours, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to run until everybody's questions are answered.
Yeah, and I have no plans for the rest of the afternoon. I did promise beer at some point.
That's a real reason you had so many people.
You promised beer. I didn't hear about that.
I know that I have a very extensive party, beer selection. So if you stay, of course, we're not doing that during the official program, but if you stay, that will be your reward. So with that, I guess I'll just turn it over to Molly. Molly is the executive director of the North Carolina chapter Sierra Club, which is the state version of
the Sierra official
Club.
State director.
Is that really? Yeah. Is it state director?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you for having everybody here today, and Bob, because there's so much interest and excitement about doing this. Some of you probably know that North Carolina right now is engaged in a big struggle over what our energy future will look like. We're one of the fastest growing states in the country, which means we need more energy. Right now, we rank 49th in the entire nation in the amount we're spending per capita on energy efficiency. So we are at the very back of the line. I think only Alabama does less on energy efficiency than we do. And currently, our utilities are looking at 2 new nuclear plants for North Carolina and essentially a new coal-fired power plant. So groups like the Sierra Club have been arguing that we should look at energy efficiency and renewables and things like solar first before we look at new sources that bring a whole set of environmental problems with them. The new coal-fired power plant that's proposed for the western part of the state, I was at a hearing on it this week, and it will pump out 11.5 tons of carbon dioxide a year. So anything that we can do that would keep us from being in that situation of increasing our problems with global warming would be a big boon to the state. As part of that, Sierra Club's has been involved for a couple of years now in a Cool Cities campaign. Krista Wagner, who works on that, will be here. This
on
Krista!
Cue.
And so like Krista will tell you a little bit about the Cool Cities campaign.
Oh, well, sure, certainly. I just came in from Durham and still getting used to it. The Cool Cities campaign is really exciting. It's this idea that because, you know, we haven't seen the federal government taking a great deal of action on global warming, and the states are starting to, but local governments really have this large role to play, and they can adopt a version of the Kyoto Protocol. They can sort of sign on to this Mayor's Climate Agreement, which would pledge them to try to achieve the same emission reductions that the Kyoto Protocol calls for, while also saving a lot of money. So we've been trying to get cities across North Carolina to sign this U.S. Mayor's Agreement, and we've been awarding that with cool cities designation, because I'm sure a lot of cities already see themselves as very cool from a cultural perspective, but also they're cooling down, they're cooling off, they're trying to reduce their global warming impact. So cities that have signed on in North Carolina are Asheville, Durham, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. We've been working with Charlotte and Raleigh, differing degrees. Also Wilmington and Boone are cities that have, whose mayors have started to say, you know, we really are considering signing on to this agreement, as well as Winston-Salem and Greensboro. And we're also looking at doing different initiatives within the Cool Cities campaign, like green schools, energy efficiency, renewable energy projects for local governments to start to embrace. So, I mean, this is really, there's a groundswell of attention to this, and it's really exciting to see that local governments really do have this role to play.
So if you're interested in Cool Cities, see Krista, and I will just tell you one other thing. There was a final thing. There was a, the Utilities Commission held a hearing this week where the CEO of Duke Energy, Jim Rogers, was, as part of their process, their application for the coal-fired power plant, was cross-examined by environmental attorneys. And one of the questions he was asked was, you know, their argument is they can't put energy efficiency and renewables first because they have to provide reliable energy, and those are not as reliable forms of energy. And the person said, well, isn't this, have you ever had a brownout in North Carolina? No. What's the biggest cause of power disruption and your inability to serve customers? Isn't it hurricanes?
Yes.
If you had solar panels, would you be likely to still have power following either a nice storm or hurricane? And the CEO had to admit, yes, that solar might in fact be more reliable.
As long as the sun comes out.
Yeah. Once the hurricane's done.
It's usually nice.
It's usually very nice.
Yeah, it's usually beautiful.
Great. Thanks, Molly. Thanks, Krista, for coming. I wanted a special thank you to all the people who came on time. No offense to Krista. I do appreciate it. I'm sorry. I didn't want to have to repeat stuff over and over. So thank you. Before I turn it over to Bob, I just wanted to do a few very quick things, just little things. I've just, you know, as Molly knows, like my interest has started to get my attention because I've shifted a little.